Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Computer Guys. I'm Dave.
And I'm Kevin, and we're The Computer Guys here from Macatawa Technologies for the next half hour to answer all your computer and technology-related questions.
That's right, Kev. The advice this afternoon is going to be free. So give us a call, 395-1450, if you have any questions. We'd be happy to help you out. We enjoy talking about computers. We like working with computers and, I guess, technology in general.
Sure.
So give us a call, 395-1450 is the best way.
You can always send us an email. It's computerguys@whtc.com. We'll be checking that throughout the show as well as throughout the week. So if you're feeling a little phone shy, go ahead and send us an email. Again, it's computerguys@whtc.com, and we will do our best to get to it on the show.
And if you're out there listening, wondering if this is live, it is this week, because last week it was recorded. We had I was on a vacation.
Spent Dave a was time laying relaxing. On the beach and decided he didn't want to remotely run the show, so... I didn't lay on the beach much. You didn't?
Laid by the pool.
There you go.
So we are back, and we'd be happy to help out. So if you couldn't get a hold of us last week, call in here to WHTC. We've also got some news stories. Although, you know, there's not as much new in the last couple weeks as you might have thought, Kev.
No. Seems like with everything that's been happening, things, you know, development has just kind of slowed a little bit, and there hasn't been a whole lot of progress on...
The Apple Store has reopened with many new products.
Oh, did they close?
Well, this is a story from yesterday, March 3. There was the Apple Store was down for a couple of hours, but reopened yesterday morning.
Okay.
All this speculation has turned out to be a reality with Apple dishing out many new products, and among them are the iMac 20-inch, three iMac 24-inch models, two Mac Mini models, and two new Mac Pro models, with one including an ATI Radeon HD 4570 graphics card.
That's intense.
Yeah. Also, as rumored, there was a new AirPort Extreme and Time Capsule in 1 terabyte. The Mac Pro is the granddaddy of them all. The lower-end quad-core system includes a 2.66 quad-core Intel Xeon processor, 3 gigabytes of memory, 640-gig hard drive, 18x double-layer superdrive, and a Xeon, and a NVIDIA GeForce GT120 with 512 megs of memory, priced at the low price of $24.99.
Man, that is a powerhouse.
Finally, there's also the 8-core system.
Oh, of course.
Which includes two 2.66 quad-core Intel Xeon processors, 6 gigs of memory, 640-gig hard drive, 18x double-layer superdrive, and, of course, the 512 meg video card. It's priced at $32.99. So the Apple Store, if you're an Apple fan, like a lot of our listeners or customers are, definitely some new products out there. Apple's always got, although it seems with Steve Jobs taking a little 6-month break that they don't make quite as much news about it.
Yep, that's true. You know, he was so in charge of the hype.
Yep.
You know, he was the guy associated with the product releases. So, all kinds of new stuff going on, though.
Absolutely. And what better time to buy a new computer than now?
That's right. Prices are low. As much on Apple's.
Yeah, that's true.
Apple Those prices are a little bit unchanged.
Yeah, pretty much. Although definitely have seen a lot of discounts in the last few months as far as technology computers go. Wow, it's amazing.
You know, that's funny to think about, though, because, you know, up until, I don't know, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, prices, they were about on par, you know, especially, you know, laptop markets and such. But that gap has opened wide up again with PC manufacturers just cutting prices so incredibly low that the gap is back again. It is definitely more expensive to buy that Apple.
Yeah, so, and Kev, even I'm getting in the game getting a new computer.
That's right. That's right, you are.
It's pretty exciting, isn't
You're
it?
You're still waiting. It's in being built out. It's going to ship soon, so... It's pretty exciting.
Still waiting.
You want to talk about it? Tell everybody how excited you are about it.
You know,
it's not super fancy.
It's not really fancy. You know,
my wife
and
I,
we just do, you know, the basic stuff at home. And the price on Dell desktops right now is so good that
no, but this is going to be your multimedia computer, right?
Well, it will be. Yeah, it'll be in the office at home.
So it's a little more than just a basic. You know, you're going to record live TV on it.
I have to say that is definitely one of the coolest things. Where you get a computer with a TV tuner built into it.
Sure,
it's just like a TiVo. Now, it's not quite as comfortable unless you've got a couch in your office or anything. But, you know, to be able to record all the shows you like, Have it, it's all set on there. Tons of info, tons of storage.
But the funny thing about that is, at some point, you don't even need that anymore with all of the shows available commercial-free on the website.
See, it's just not as good a quality, though.
It's pretty dang close, especially on some of them. Like, if you ever go to Hulu, they have an HD, like a 480 feed, and it's a really high resolution. So, now you have to have a decent internet connection to be able to watch that. But, you know, fairly commercial-free. There are little breaks in those. The average commercial is probably 20 to 30 seconds, and there's one every 7 to 10 minutes of programming. So,
well, the online TV watching I'll be doing, Kev, is going to be starting in about 2 weeks.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
2.5 weeks. Seems like March Madness starts later and later every year.
Yeah, it's going to be April Madness later.
I know. So, watching, they always have it. If you've got a decent computer with a fast internet connection, you know, DSL or cable,
sure,
you'd be able to pull that up. And I know there's a lot of people who, while they're at work, are definitely not working. Rather, they're watching the NCAA tournament on their computer. I will be one of those people.
You will. And absolutely. You will not be leaving your office. You will just be sitting in there.
Pretending to work.
All calls will go straight to voicemail and your emails. Yep. Maybe in a couple weeks, he'll get back to you.
You don't want to bring your computer in during the tournament games.
Just don't ask to talk to Dave. The rest of us, you know, we'll all be working. That's right. Dave's just going to be sitting around. So
you guys don't get into it quite as much as me.
No, also, Kev, sorry about that.
One of the other news stories, this actually happened last Tuesday, was it? When Gmail went down for 2.5 hours or so?
That's right. Was that last week?
Google has apologized for the 2.5 hour Gmail outage on Tuesday morning. Yep. It admitted that the cause was down to data center maintenance. Lots of people around the world who rely on Gmail were disrupted during their waking and working hours, and we are very sorry. We did everything we could to restore access as soon as possible, and the issue is now resolved, said Gmail site reliability manager. Wow, that is an impossible first name. Obviously.
You just want to spell it?
We'll just say the reliability manager.
Okay.
Google had been testing new code designed to keep data geographically closer to its owner, which brought about a disruption when maintenance in one data center caused another facility to be overloaded. It's had a cascade effect, according to Google, and it took the company an hour to get it back under control. You know, that's the one thing you do have to say about Gmail or any of them, Yahoo, Hotmail, they're pretty reliable. You really don't have too many times when you can't access your email.
Yeah, that's their job, is to make that reliable. So they,
for free, though.
Well, I know.
They're working hard.
They are working hard for free. So.
Well, it's really not for free for all of your information.
Well, and if your business is using Gmail, it's not free either. So.
But it's, all things considered, it's a pretty reliable service.
Yep. You know, there's going to be downtime every once in a while. So, hey, 2 hours here. When did it, did you say it was morning or?
That was on a Tuesday morning of last week.
Okay. So, I wonder, it wasn't expected, was it?
No.
So, yeah.
It was
there was no warning. So that's why the apology.
But you got to figure, and all the time, how long ago was it that they released Gmail? 3-4 years?
Well, that was in beta, sat in beta for about a year. That was probably about 3 years ago.
Do you have a Gmail account, Kev?
I do. I don't use it a whole lot. So I kind of use it for testing here and there, sign up for a few mailing lists. It's not my junk email.
No?
No, my junk email is still with Yahoo.
That's the one you've had for about 12 years, isn't it?
It's ancient. And I don't even bother going there.
I don't either. The one I have at Yahoo is so filled with stuff that it's pointless to even go in there.
Anytime
I feel bad for Yahoo.
Well, yeah.
They have so many junk mails, thanks to me.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that they're probably not the only ones, so.
That's true.
And with all that space, you don't have to clean it out. With any of the new providers, you don't ever even have to go delete that mail. It's just, it sits there. And, you know, that little percentage, I may have used 10% of my capacity, but by the time I get up there, they're going to increase the capacity.
The funny thing is, when I do log into that Yahoo, Kev, the messages are from the future.
Like the ones at the top are always from the future.
Well, it's like, 2011, these spam messages. Get your Rolex watch now.
That's right.
Cheap, you know?
Well, that's good. So prices on Rolexes are falling, and in 2011,
that's right. In 2 years,
there'll be a deal. You're ahead of the curve. Maybe you should invest in
Rolex.
You
know, they do that because
it sits on top.
It shows up first.
Right. Yeah. And it never goes away.
It's just kind of funny. Also, Kev, Microsoft is in the news here. They're always in the news for something.
Sure.
They are, Microsoft is in third place as far as search engines go. Obviously, mm-hmm. Google is the most popular. Yahoo is the second most popular.
Sure.
And then there's Live.com, which is not quite as popular, although I like it. I just, you know.
Did you ever get into the rebate, the cash rebate thing that they were doing?
Didn't even know about that.
Yeah, Live.com, they were doing, if you search for a product, and it wasn't everything, but if you search for a product using Live.com and then you ended up buying that product through one of their links, you could actually get a percentage in cash back off the purchase price.
Kind of like Old Advantage?
It was up to like 25%, and it was real, and people were getting paid. So they would find somebody would find an item on eBay and through a link that they searched for on Live.com, and you'd end up getting 25% off whatever that cost was. Now, the price, the percentage has varied quite a bit, and it's gone down as time's gone on. But I think that's been a fairly popular feature that they've offered.
I did not know about that anyway. Yeah. So Microsoft's had Live.com, and they've had it for a number of years. And, you know, there's always MSN.com. You can search there, too. But they've begun testing a revamped version of their internet search service called Kumo.com. Kumo.com. It doesn't actually work yet. I tried it the other day, and it just does a search for it. But
you're right.
They're trying to improve their third-place position in the online search market.
So they're reinventing themselves live? They don't want to go with the live
you
anymore?
You know what? The awesome thing that I use live for is their aerial maps.
It's true. They are the best
the bird's eye views. And, you know, you go to Google, and it's just terrible.
So if you've got high-speed internet, because you're going to want that, if you do go there, is you go to live.com, check out their mapping, and check out the satellite imagery. They've got some of the best maps out there, especially in some of the more rural areas. Like if you go to Google Maps and you check out Holland's coverage, you can't zoom in too closely. It gets kind of blurry. So check it out on live.com, and you can get incredibly close. You can see your house. You can see the car parked in your driveway, and you may be able to see your license plate.
Yeah, we have an email here, computerguys@whtc.com.
Sure.
And the first question is, this is actually from a couple weeks ago. Kevin, why are you so grumpy when Facebook is brought up?
Do we know who wrote that?
Possibly.
Yeah, I bet we do. I'm not grumpy. I'm just playing the part. So,
and then the second part to that is, Dave, why don't you defend your Facebook?
Yeah, Dave, why don't you defend your Facebook? Yeah, yeah, Dave, stick up for your Facebook.
Well, you know, it. I think it comes down to Kev. You just haven't joined, and maybe you ought to try.
No, I don't want it.
It's actually kind of it's fun.
I don't
it's
have
fun
time for it, man.
Well, let's go ahead and take this phone
you
call.
You got to make cuts for the things that are important.
There you go.
Didn't make my list.
Let's take this call here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Yeah, where was that website you said to go to? You can see your place and the car parked in the driveway and so forth.
Well, there are a couple of options. As far as the overhead views, the best one is if you go to live.com.
Okay.
And then there's you click on the maps section.
Okay.
And then go ahead and type in whatever you want to look at.
And depending on where you are, there's a button that says aerial, and there's also a button that says bird's eye, and that's the one that really gives you the best view from like an overhead, like as if a bird were kind of flying over, and it kind of, you can rotate 360 degrees around it. It's really cool.
What was the first you go on to what website?
Live.com. That's the first one.
Okay. Live.com. Thank you.
Yep, and then real quick, too, the second one is Google actually has Street View now. So if you go to Google.
Wait a minute, let me write this down.
Oh, sure.
Live.com.
Yep, and there's a little link on there. It says Maps, and you just click on that and type in the address of where you want to look.
Okay, click on. All right. Next, Google.
Yep, and the next one is Google. Same thing. They have a Maps button. You can search there. And there's actually the Google Street View, and it's like a little car from Google drove around Holland taking pictures as it went. And you can kind of drive back and forth, but that's not as cool.
Okay. So, thank you.
Live.com. Check it out.
Live.com, click on maps, and then put your address in or whatever.
Your address in, yep. And then there will be buttons for aerial or bird's eye view. So
thank you very, very much.
Yeah, let us know if you can't find it.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm looking right now, just kind of looking around.
Got another call here coming in, Kev. Let's go ahead and take this. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Hi. I just wonder if you guys could recommend a program. I've got a pretty extensive CD collection. I like to put them on my computer and then just burn other CDs of different songs. And I've got Real Player now, but I'm not real happy with that. I wonder if there's any other programs you could recommend.
What operating system are you running? Well, XP or Vista?
Vista.
Vista? And you're just trying to burn,
store my CDs onto my computer, then I'll pick out certain songs from different ones, and then just burn a separate CD for my own use.
You know, something you might want to try that actually works fairly well and is very straightforward is Windows Media Player.
Really? I haven't had much luck with it, trying that.
Really? Have you had any problems with it?
It seems very cumbersome to use. I tried it when I first got my new computer last year, and I just had real trouble figuring it out.
Okay. Because, the one thing to do is to make sure you've got the newest version of Media Player. Now, with Vista, you should already have it, but you want to make sure you have all the updates for it. And, right at the top, essentially, you've got a couple of commands about library, which you can see everything that's on there. Rip is to actually copy the music to your computer, and then burn, where you can go and take music that's on there and create new CDs. So it works really well when you have an internet connection, because it'll auto-load all the track names and information for those albums and keep them organized. But one thing you'll want to do is, by default, it wants to put them in Windows Media format. Mm-hmm. And I would recommend, if possible, that if you go into the options, to the tools menu and then into options, there's a tab it's called Rip Music. Change the format to MP3 format. Reason is, it's really universal. When you have your music in an MP3 format, it'll work on almost every player out there. It'll work between different music programs. Windows Music isn't a bad format, but you're kind of bound to Windows-based computers. You can take MP3s, you can put them on Apples, you can put them on almost anything and it'll work. So it's a very universal format. And then the other thing to do is to play around with the audio quality setting, which has to do with how much space your music actually ends up taking up. So with a higher, and there's a slider from smallest size to best quality, play around with that and listen to it after you've put the music on your computer and find out what one works best for you as far as the amount of space it takes and the actual quality of the sound.
All right, well, I'll revisit that.
So try that, and if that doesn't work, there's a ton of other stuff out there, Dave. You can always go with iTunes. That's a free download.
Now, are you trying to actually copy the CDs or copy the CDs to the computer?
No, I've got them on the computer, then I'll just pick a song here and there and burn my own.
Another program for burning music that has always been pretty popular is called Nero.
Okay.
Nero is, I like it. It's a fairly simple interface as well.
Yeah, and if you don't want all the advanced features, they make a Nero Express, which is cheaper, and it strips out a lot of the really kind of more advanced multimedia features, and it's really easy to use for burning music and data.
All right. Well, thanks for your tips, and I'll give some of those things a shot. Thanks.
Definitely a fan of Nero. They've expanded into
so many other things that... And a lot of the other programs I don't really like that they have. They've got all kinds. They've got indexing services and all kinds of multimedia stuff at their core. It was just really easy to use burning software. And they still have that available, but...
I don't know the last time I burned a CD with... other than like a data CD.
Sure. Like a music CD?
Well, since we've gotten an MP3 player.
There's no point. I've done it for somebody else.
Yeah.
Somebody said, hey, I got this and I want to put it on a CD. So I... put it on a CD for them.
There was never a perfect program, though, or one that I really, really thought was good for burning CDs. They're always, like, average at best, or good.
Or you've got one program that was really great for music and one that was better for data, but now all the data is built right into Windows, so you don't really need to do anything with that anymore. So everybody's got their preferences on that. There's a lot of great free options out there. I think another one that I used at one time, I don't remember if this had burning. I'm sure it probably did. I think it was called like Media Monkey. And that was actually a pretty decent program. Hmm. So that's still out there.
I got another story here, Kev. This is relates to the iPhone. A new report compiled by iPhone analytics firm Pinch Media finds the majority of people stop using applications the day after they download them.
I heard that. This is pretty crazy.
And only 1% develop a long-term relationship with any given application. Instead, most of the users of the iPhone tend to lose interest after a few minutes, according to this article. Now, paid applications fare only slightly better. 30% of the people downloading a paid app return the next day compared to 20% who download a free app. No surprises that the survey found that applications that focused on games and entertainment seem to outlast other categories when it comes to long-term love.
That's kind of funny.
So that's why maybe Apple keeps advertising that the iPhone is actually like a little Game Boy that you can
sure
play.
Put
all these ads
on
TV, it's like they're playing these racing games.
And oh, yeah.
Shaking the iPhone back and forth.
You know, and I was working on somebody's iPhone or an application for it the other day, and it's a fantastic device for what it does. The things it was designed to do, it does really well. So the one frustration that a lot of people have had is how difficult it is to get a specific applications or to develop them for the iPhone.
So the question here then, Kev, are people not going back to these applications that they've downloaded because they're free and they don't see the value?
Or they're just not good enough.
Are they just not as good?
Yeah.
Or are people who purchase them then kind of say, you know.
And then I've read some things about the types of applications, and some of the stuff that they come up with is pretty ridiculous.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, you get applications to do just about anything.
Hmm.
Some of it seems to be quite worthless.
So the games and entertainment, yep. That's what people use the iPhone for.
Yeah. Counting cards, right? We talked about that.
We did a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Also, Kev.
Sure.
Wisconsin now has passed a digital download tax of 5%.
Hmm.
The state of Wisconsin passed legislation to extend sales tax to digital downloads. The new law will go into effect on October 1st. They suggest that the 5% estimate suggests that the 5% tax on downloads of music, games, books, ringtones, and other video entertainment will bring in $6.7 million annually. The Wisconsin governor has been fighting for the change for years. You know, their state officials say it is a matter of fairness. Internet vendors shouldn't have a tax-exempt advantage over Wisconsin brick-and-mortar retailers. So look for that if you're in Wisconsin. Cam, soon enough, we'll be paying taxes.
That's right, all those digital downloads.
You know, it's kind of funny to admit this.
Yeah.
I don't know I've ever purchased anything digitally, other than maybe a couple software programs.
Why? Because you always steal it.
No, well, I don't.
All your
buy
illegal
music.
Downloading.
I don't.
No.
I don't get new. The only music I get, I buy in CDs, and
sure.
Even then, I don't get much.
Yeah.
Listen to what I've got.
Yeah, a little applications, like a little software. You've bought software, I'm sure.
It's been about probably a couple of years.
Okay. Well, time to get on the bandwagon, Dave.
You?
I buy stuff. Not a ton of stuff.
For yourself personally, not for business.
No, a handful of things for business. Not a lot.
Mm.
You know, it'll be a little application that does this, that, or the other thing, or, you know, some mobile application that is only available online. Because I agree. In some sense, I like having the tangible media, which, you know, I'll still buy a CD over just the direct download. This is other Microsoft news. Vista SP2 release candidate is available to the public. It's available from Microsoft's Download Center. The near final release candidate test for Windows Vista Service Pack 2 and Windows Server 2008 Service Pack 2. They are still in beta, but they are actually release candidates.
You can also download Internet Explorer 8.
Mm-hmm, that's true. The final Service Pack 2 builds are expected due out in April of this year.
So, although that my browser of choice as of recently, Kev, you might be a little surprised at this.
From?
Google Chrome.
Yeah.
And the only reason is it's way faster than an Internet Explorer.
See, but that's on your computer. That's weird because I've used them both and I don't find
recently?
That it's. Yeah. Because I re-downloaded it. I thought, okay, maybe they've made some major improvements, but I haven't found that it's that
maybe
much faster.
Maybe it's because my computer's awesome.
Or your computer stinks.
It's slow with Internet Explorer.
That's right.
It always freezes
it's out
up. That's
get
the
you.
Annoying thing. You know, it's all those things. You just.
Do you keep all of your Flash up to date and Java and everything? We've been staying
more
on top
or less.
Of that. Oh, probably less. That's probably your problem.
Yeah, what can you say?
Yep.
But no, Google Chrome, it's not bad. I like it. It's a little change, but it's so fast. It loads pages so much faster, it seems.
Well,
so
maybe I'll give it a week. Maybe I'll say I'll use it exclusively for a week. See what I think.
Although you're always installing add-ons that you forget that you've already installed or come with your computer. Let's take another phone call here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Oh, good. I'm not sure if I know best how to describe this problem, but I'm having difficulty. I have Windows Vista, and I'm having difficulty downloading an Internet Explorer upgrade that came with Service Pack 2. And I've tried going to different sites. Automatic update didn't work. I wonder if they have any suggestions or are aware of any problems
so
with that.
You're on Windows Vista,
uh-huh.
And you've installed the Service Pack 2 or Service Pack 1. Do you remember?
It's Service Pack 2, but one of the additions with Service Pack 2 was an upgrade to Internet Explorer.
Version 8, probably.
Perhaps. And okay. I can't, it won't complete that installation. It's giving me an error on that. I've tried going elsewhere and uploading Internet Explorer 7 and then trying to go from 8, and it still doesn't do it.
Well, like we just said there, Service Pack 2 for Vista is not necessarily, I don't know that I would recommend installing it just yet.
Okay.
And as well as the Internet Explorer 8, they're not necessarily 100% complete with them. That's not to say that there's anything wrong with them, but they're still testing out a lot of the things in it. So I would say if it's not installing yet, it's probably not a problem necessarily. I would probably wait until Microsoft finishes up with some of the updates that they're still going to be coming out with.
Yeah, and there's a couple different reasons why you could have problems installing Internet Explorer. One, if you have any viruses or spyware on your computer, that can definitely cause things not to install properly. So making sure you have up-to-date active antivirus protection and you run a full system scan and make sure it comes back clean.
Yeah, I did that.
Okay. The other thing is during installation, temporarily disabling anti-spyware and antivirus software. That's another thing that they recommend.
Okay.
And you said you've tried using Windows Update to update it, and that didn't work? Is that correct?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, it was an automatic update that was downloaded. And I can't tell you exactly what service pack it is, but everything installed except for Internet Explorer upgrade.
Well, there could be one thing. A lot of times when you do an update, it'll have a lot of updates in there. Uh-huh. And it's kind of weird. I don't remember exactly what it was. I just saw this a couple of days ago. There was... it's on, I think this is on XP, though. This is a little bit different. But there are updates to Internet Explorer 6, but when you actually check to install Internet Explorer 7, it installs 7, and then it sees that you don't have 6, so it doesn't install those updates, and it throws an error when you're all done with it. So it's not necessarily a problem.
Yeah, one other thing to do is just try and go to Microsoft's, to the update site manually. And
I did
try
that.
Okay, and then have you tried to install just this one update?
Yes.
Okay, so that's not doing it either. Does it give you a specific error message when you're trying to do it?
I can't remember exactly what it is, but the computer seems to be working fine. I'm just nervous if I'm not installing, you know, necessary updates.
You know, Internet Explorer 8 is not a mandatory update yet, and they are still supporting and releasing updates for 7 to keep it stable and secure. So you don't have to install this, and, you know, you might want to wait a little while, and they may correct something that'll cause it to go smoothly on your machine, but there's no reason you have to have Internet Explorer 8 as of yet.
Okay.
All right?
I'll just keep an eye on it then.
Sounds good. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
It is frustrating, though, Kev, when certain updates
don't
install.
When Windows Update doesn't happen, you know, there are 8 million reasons why it could be, you know, not happening. And so typically they'll give you an error code, and it's cryptic. It's 0x0074917. And that means something in particular. And so you can find out what that means. And even when you find that, there will be 20 different things maybe that are listed as causes for that.
And there's a good chance that in 2 or 3 weeks, they'll fix it and it'll install just fine.
And it might, because, you know, that's their job, is to make sure it goes smoothly. And so they will correct issues. If it was bothering you, it's something that, you know, if brought in, we could definitely resolve for you. So that's what we are in the business of doing. Anyways, that music means it's the end of another show. If you weren't able to get in today, give us a call during the week. 394-4940 is our number. We are from McIntyre Technologies. We're located on the south side of Holland, 399 East 32nd Street. That's one block west of the corner of 32nd and 31. You can also check out the podcast. Easiest way to do that, if you have Apple iTunes, type WHTC into the music store, and we will pop up, and you can listen to us anytime you want.
Well, thanks again, and have a great week.